in the book that the parish gave out at Christmas, Prayer for Beginners by Dr. Peter Kreef, it's a book, as the title implies, that is on prayer. And so we've had all these book studies going on in the parish, and I've been leading a book study with Father Urach for the middle school kids, actually three different ones for 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade. One of those chapters, Kreef talks about his method of prayer. As much as he has a method of prayer, it's simply three words: stop, look, listen. He doesn't necessarily teach a method. He just talks more about prayer in general, the importance of it, gives some tips on prayer. But in chapter 6, he talks about his method, quote-unquote, the stop, look, listen. And so as I've kind of had that in the background as I was reading the gospel, preparing for my homily this week, and it dawned on me that this gospel in today, the Gospel of Matthew, absolutely is a manifestation of those three points: stop, look, listen. Kreef says that the hardest thing about prayer, the hardest part about prayer, is the first of those three, to actually stop, to take the time to pump the brakes, to get off the squirrel cage that we run in, and take time to pray. Don't worry about the stuff that's coming after. Don't worry about the stuff that you just came from. But to just actually stop and pray, it's the most difficult part. And I think he's right. So what we have in today's gospel, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a high mountain to pray. He stopped. They could have kept doing their ministry. He could have kept healing and preaching and so on. But he took these three up a high mountain. They stopped. Now, just a couple years ago, I was in Jerusalem, and I went up Mount Tabor, which is kind of the traditional site. There's a church of the Transfiguration on the top of Mount Tabor. Beautiful place. It's like a couple thousand feet high. And I got to tell you, that was like one of the most scared I was for my life, coming down that mountain with the driver who was just like, there's switchbacks, like, just back and forth, and he is flying down there. He has to replace his brakes like every 6 months because he just flies down, slams on the brakes, and cranks the wheel. So I was like scared to death. I knew we were going to die. We make it to the bottom, and you know, I was just praising God. It's like I had my own little transfiguration at that moment. But historically, they say that Mount Tabor is probably not the actual site of the Transfiguration. It's probably Mount Hermon, which is a ways away. It's like 11,000 feet, whereas Tabor is only a couple thousand feet. But Hermon is way off by itself. It takes time to get there. To climb an 11,000-foot mountain takes time. You have to stop. It's an intentional thing. You have to stop in order to make that happen. If you want prayer to happen, you have to stop. The other two things are not going to work. It's like a railroad crossing. If you stop, look, listen. But if you're not stopping, the rest of it's not going to follow. So Jesus takes them up the mountain. That's the stopping part. Then to look. And behold, he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared with them, conversing with him. They looked. They saw something that had been in front of them the whole time. This is toward the end of Jesus' ministry. So they'd been with him for close to 3 years by this point. They'd seen him, you know, every day. And yet, here he is, they're seeing him in a new light. Literally a new light. His humanity is stripped back, and they're seeing the divinity that's been right in front of them the whole time. But they missed it. That's something that, even in our stations here, the cross, that really helps kind of manifest that point. If you look at the stations, Jesus is typically... is in a lot of Catholic art, Jesus is depicted wearing red and white. Why? Humanity and divinity of Jesus. That's what those two colors represent. You look at the first set of stations here. He's wearing red and white in all of them. Keep going, keep going, keep going to the 10th station. Jesus is stripped of the humanity in a certain sense. His divinity shines forth in our stations. And that was done intentionally. You look at the skin tone. Look at the color. He is whiter in that than he is in all the rest of them. That station was written, it was drawn as a way of reflecting the transfiguration. There's a direct link between the 10th station here of our stations and the transfiguration. That Jesus' humanity is starting to show forth, even in a glimpse, even in the smallest way during the passion, that his humanity or his divinity shines forth. But you have to be able to look, and you have to stop in order to be able to look. And then listening. And from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." They heard the voice of the Father. They stopped. They went up the mountain. They looked and saw something new that had been there the whole time. And then they listened and heard the voice of the Father. Peter Kreef's method of prayer exemplified in our gospel. All right, so what does that mean for us? Obviously, like I said, in prayer, if you don't stop, you're not going to pray. And if you got, and one of the lines he put in there that Kreef put in his book that just really stuck out to me is, God is not background music. Bishop Jakels used to say, You can pray while you work, but you can't work while you pray. You can pray while you work, but you can't work while you pray. In other words, when it's time to, St. Paul says, pray without ceasing, pray in all things. Everything should be made into a prayer. But when it actually comes time to pray itself, God doesn't take second place. You have to stop and focus on him. And then to listen, to look, to hear, where do we encounter God? That's the question that these middle school kids were asking. Father, how does God speak to us? How do we hear him? How do you know it's God? Well, there's a number of ways, and Kreef points out a number of these as well. But in nature, we can hear and look and see God in nature. One of my deepest moments of encountering God was staring at a leaf, seeing the veins of the leaf, and realizing that each cell of the leaf is designed to do photosynthesis and produce energy that the tree sucks down, and then it uses that to grow. It's like God designed all that with this little leaf that's going to fall off and turn to dust. God did all that. But if you don't stop and admire a leaf and ponder for a moment, you're not going to be able to see. You're not going to be able to listen. Art. I mean, look at these stations. How often, though, have you looked at these stations and not realized that the 10th station is supposed to be a small mirror of the transfiguration, a small hint of Christ's divinity being showed forth even in the depths of the passion? Just God's providential directing of our lives in general. When something keeps coming up again and again, like when there's somebody who did something, hurt you, wronged you 15 years ago, and you haven't even thought about that person, and then all of a sudden, the span of a week, like again and again and again, they keep coming up, pay attention. God has something to say to you through that. If there's a verse that you've heard 1,000 times before, but all of a sudden, again and again and again, it keeps popping up in mass, or there's a certain word, trust, or mercy, or forgiveness, and it keeps coming up again and again. Pay attention. God is speaking. Stop. Look. Listen. Scripture. God absolutely speaks to us through Scripture. Particularly through the Gospels. Jesus is contained in the Gospels. Do we actually take time to encounter him there? Through the people around us. Does God speak to us through other people? Yes, absolutely without question. When you hear that person say, you know what? You show the light of Christ in a particular way. You have the gift of compassion. You have a joy that I wish I had. Listen to that. There's something being spoken to you. God uses various ways, various means of reaching us. But again, if we don't take the time to stop and look and listen, we're going to miss it. We miss it all the time. And then finally, and perhaps most importantly, through the liturgy itself, this is a place where we encounter God. Through the scriptures that we hear proclaimed, through the broken vessel that's preaching to you, and even through the silence of the altar itself, God is speaking. Stop and look and listen. And the better we can do, the better we become at that, the deeper we're able to enter into that relationship with Him. And just like Jesus was using this time on the mountain to prepare the disciples for the coming scandal of the cross, He can use the season of Lent to prepare us to continue to proclaim and to grow in deeper relationship with Him. If we strive to enter into that, we will have the greatest Easter perhaps we've ever had, to enter into the glory of the resurrection.